Let's go to John chapter 4. Who was the first missionary? Paul? No. Why would it be Paul? Why wouldn't it be our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Why wouldn't he be the example in all things for us to emulate? Why wouldn't it be Jesus? In dealing with souls, everything we need to live this Christian life is found in the life of Christ. We find in this account right here a conversation that started, an insult that came back. And how did Jesus respond to the insult? It went in one ear, what? And right out the other. He never missed a beat. He was patient with a woman who was impatient with him. And she throws a few of them at him. A Jew? Ask me for water? Have you lost your mind, man? That's basically what she said. You a Jew? Me a Samaritan? Not happening. Your people hate us. How do you answer that? How did he answer it? Here, let me give you something. Who does that? Who does that after being insulted? Here, let me give you something. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't. I'm just being honest with you. I wouldn't. I would probably say, fine. I'll go talk to somebody else. Yeah. I'm serious. That might be my reaction. I would pray at this point. I have done it too. But I would pray that we would learn from Christ in that's not how we react. Okay? That's not how we react. When insulted by a lost person, when they find out we're a Christian, or God opens that door of opportunity to witness to somebody. Jesus didn't do that. As a matter of fact, he never even addressed it. He never even addressed the insult. He simply said, I got something for you that's precious. Something that you can't get from this earth. Who does that after being insulted? Nobody. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, verse 10, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. After an insult, he offers her living water. And we talked about the water, the living water. Now, we talked last time that we were together about verse 11. And notice there's a change in her demeanor. Because if you treat malice with kindness, it will blow people's minds. That's how my friend in the Czech Republic was able to witness to a man for 45 minutes that just slapped him across the face. On a bus. A guy he'd never met before because the guy determined that he was an American. Hated Americans. Let me tell you something. We're only loved in this country. You travel outside, you'll find out. Yet he doesn't do what anybody else would have done. He offers her living water. And notice how immediately the fact that by his extension of kindness after an insult, her demeanor changes. It's slight, but it changes. First, she calls him a what?
And I believe me, she didn't say it in a complimentary manner. No, she called him a Jew.
You Jews, you hate us. She says it twice. A Jew, and then she says, for the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. And that's when Jesus offers her the gift. But then notice in verse 11, she says,
sir.
A little bit of a change. And that's, you'll see that when you talk to folks, sometimes about their soul. Sometimes there won't be a change, man. You just meet. I hesitate to use the example, but Jesus did. You may meet a swine who will turn and rend you. Jesus said that, not me. When you cast these pearls, you don't think that living water that he just said to her wasn't a pearl that he cast to her? A pearl of great price. It sure was. Jesus just gave her a pearl. He gave her a pearl. And you know what she didn't do? She didn't turn and rend him. I'm going to tell you right now. If you're dealing with somebody and they turn and rend you, I do believe by the permission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that you can say, okay, friend, that's all. I won't bother you anymore. But that's not how she responded back, did she? Her demeanor changes. She says, sir. Nevertheless, in what we talked about the last time we were here, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? And if you'll notice where her brain is focused, and if you'll notice where every lost person's brain is focused, it is focused on this. Here, now, the earth, the flesh. No thought of the spiritual. No concern for the spiritual. All of the concern, all of the focus, all of the drive of the world is the drive of the flesh. The drive to protect it, to make it happy. All those things. The flesh. And what I want to concentrate on today, in the time we have left, is the next verse. I had some other notes, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me leave this verse today. I wanted to actually plow in further today. But it's like the Holy Spirit's like, you know, just camp there. Just camp there. Notice verse 12. Her demeanor has changed. Nevertheless, this woman is full of questions. And you know what? Lost people are going to be full of questions. I want them to ask questions. I don't want to just pump information at them without knowing what they're getting, what their understanding is. And I definitely, when they start talking about, well, who was Cain's wife? Or Revelation, the book of Revelation. It's like, no. We're not going there. And here she says this after this change. But then again, she comes back to the flesh as usual for a lost person. Notice verse 12. Let's just read verse 11, get the context. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Verse 12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Is anything in that sentence spiritual? Nothing is. Again, back to what will take care of me in the flesh. And if we're not careful, Christian, we'll do the same thing.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Pastor.
If we're not careful. It'll all become about the flesh. And
Let me tell you, my battle is your battle. Our battle is the same. You say you're not battling with your flesh anymore. We got to talk. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and the cattle? She's talking about a well that is in the neighborhood of 1,500 years old. She's talking about drinking water. I couldn't get enough water yesterday. It was so humid. I still got dehydrated and had that dehydration headache at about 9 o'clock last night. I couldn't get enough water. I can't count. Nestle made a lot of money on me yesterday. And his children and his cattle. Notice the first part of that verse, though. What's she saying here? What is her question? What is her question? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? You know what's neat? We studied Jacob last week, didn't we? Remember? He is a type of a believer. Out of all three of the patriarchs, he is the one that showed the most weakness because he is the type of a believer. He is the one that shows the battle of the old nature and the new, the two names. Okay? He is the one that is most typical of a believer and the struggles that we have. Do me a favor. Don't ever worship a man. Not him, not me, not anybody else. Worship God.
Yes.
A man is a man. Mm-hmm. A man is Jacob. Mm-hmm. And even though that well had been there 1,500 years, Jacob is nothing. Can provide her nothing that she needs at that moment. He can provide her nothing that she needs in that moment. Because what she needs is not physical, it's spiritual. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? What's the question? Here it is. In 2023 English. What makes you so special? This well's been here for 1,500 years. A man dug it and we still got it. What makes you so special? What have you done? What have you done for me? Man, she didn't know who she was talking to, did she? What makes you so special? What can you give me that Jacob didn't give me? There's a loaded question, particularly since she didn't know she was standing in the presence of I Am. Did she? And you know what's sad? And it's not us, okay? But when we witness to a lost person, they're standing in the presence of I Am because the Holy Spirit's living inside of me. Amen. And they don't realize it. They don't realize it. They don't realize who's really talking to them. They don't realize who really is trying to work on them because God uses who as His tools? His Word and us. Today I just, in the time we have remaining, and I'm going to try and fly through this. What makes him so special? What makes him different? Unique? Could use that word. I like the word special. Look back at John chapter 1. Let's just look at Jesus now. We can sit here and we can talk about that woman till we're blue in the face. But that woman is a woman. She's been gone for a long time. I believe she's in heaven today. She has eternal life. But let's talk about the one that gave it.
Amen.
The one that gave it.
Jesus Christ is special because he is the only begotten Son of God. He is a man, one of a kind. I can't say I'm like him, he's like me. I wasn't born of a virgin. I wasn't conceived of the seed of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't born without Adam's nature. He was. John chapter 1 and verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is special because he is the only begotten Son of God. Jesus is special because he's eternal. I didn't exist in eternity past. I can't remember back past about 4 or 5-ish. A couple little memories there of things that fleet through, but that's all lost to me. John chapter 1 again, and we're going to try and stay in John as much as we can so you don't have to flip around. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." But what I want you to see is in that first part there, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." This was before creation. Christ is special because he is eternal, past, present, and future. He is eternal. That makes him special. Jacob wasn't eternal. He didn't live in eternity past. He's been given eternal life going forward. Christ is special in that he is sinless. Look at John chapter 8. He said this of himself. As I read this verse in preparation for the message today, kind of stabbed me through the heart as to what we were talking about at the beginning of the service. Look at verse 40, 45, just to get the context. "And because I tell you the truth," what's it say? "Ye believe me not. Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." And then look at verse 46. "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" Listen. I can't even say that to you all. I can't say, "Which of you convinceth me to sin?" Because I'm afraid there's too many of you already that could stand up and say, "Let me tell you about the time you said this or you did this." We're all there. And my family, oh man, then it gets worse. Because we all put it on when we come here, don't we? But it gets shed as we go out them doors a lot of times. We all do it. We all do it. But Jesus could stand in front of men that examined how he probably parted his hair as far as the Pharisaical law was and as far as the Old Testament law was. But you know what? He could say, Who here can convince me of sin? Why? And they knew this because he was and is sinless. That's what makes him special.
Amen.
He is sinless. I can't say that. However, with that said, in God's eyes, I am. Why? Because of him. Because of him. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Man, that makes him special. Because in the fact that he is sinless, his blood ensures that when I get to the gates of heaven, all God sees is his blood covering me. I'm thankful for that. And that makes him special. Look at John 1:29. Jesus is special because he alone is the one who bore our sins. He alone is the one that bore our sins. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which covereth the sins of the world.
That's not what it says.
They were covered all through the Old Testament. Covered. When Jesus came on the scene, died for our sins, they were taken away.
Amen.
And nobody else did that but one man. That makes him special. I'm glad my sins aren't just covered.
Yeah.
Coverings are temporary. That's why I kind of wanted those people here today. Because the sacraments are temporary.
Sure.
Let me just throw this out. This may sound like crazy reasoning and logic coming from a Baptist, but you know where I'm coming from. Let's just give them the benefit of the doubt. Communion saves you on Sunday. Okay? It saves you on Sunday. It has saving grace. Now, you know I don't believe that, all right? But let's just go there for a second. It saves me on Sunday. The second I leave the church and I'm halfway home from the service that day, I won't call it what it is, but it is, it's the Mass. But when I leave and go home and I curse the driver that just cut me off, I have to wait till what? Next week to get that one taken care of. So I'm going home and that one's there and guy crosses over the median at 15, hits me head on at 85 miles an hour, and brother, you are headed out of here. Where am I then? Where am I then? Because see, I've already sinned. And the standard for heaven is perfection. And since I've already sinned, and I got to wait another week to do it again, I'm in trouble, ain't I? I wouldn't want to live like that. Would you? No. Jesus took care of that one time. One time. He alone bore our sins. Jesus is special because he is the only way to the Father. Look at John chapter 14. Oh, if you're here today and you're putting your faith and trust in anything else. A baptism, a church, a denomination, what your grandparents were, what your parents were, what you are now. John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Who doesn't? I mean, yeah, we've got these radicals you hear online that say they're Satanists and stuff, but I'm telling you right now, they're like fleas. There ain't that many of them.
most of our country, what? They do. They believe in God. But that ain't enough. That ain't enough. You can't just be God-fearing. You can't just believe in God. The native people up north, all of them believed in the Creator. But the Creator is not Jehovah. It's their Creator. It's who they want God to be. It's the God of AA and NA and all of these other programs. God can be whatever you want Him to be to you. No. No. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus, the special one. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And most religions at a funeral will stop right there. Why do I know that? Because I've been to him and heard it. And inside of me, I am screaming at the preacher or the priest, don't stop at that verse. Please, don't stop at that verse. But they all do. They all do. We ain't stopping there. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know whither thou goest. And he says, basically, what Nicodemus and the woman said, what's the word? Here it is again. How? We saw that with both of them. How? They both said the same word. And here Thomas says the same word. How? How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he didn't say through the waters of baptism.
Amen.
Said by me. Christ is special because he's the only way to the Father. God is holy, holy, holy. And there's only one way to the Father, and that is through his perfect, only begotten Son. That's what makes him so special. Look at John chapter 2. Jesus Christ is special in that he alone had the power over his own death and the ability to take back his life again. No other person on the face of this earth could, can, or will ever be able to do that. John 2:19, he says, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. I'll raise it up. None of us have that kind of power. He is special because he alone had the power over his own death and the ability to take back his life. Jesus is special as seen in the fact that he alone accepted worship as an equal with the Father. Look at John chapter 5. For context, go to verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doth, these also doth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, notice this, even as they honor the Father. What is that? That's worship. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Christ was equal to God And he stated so. Co-equal with God the Father. Jesus is special in that he has the power to give life to whom he will. And that's right in the passage that we just read. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And you know what? He's still doing it.
Yes.
How is he doing it now? He's not here. Where is he? I'm glad he's where he is. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us to the north. Okay? So how does he quicken? How does he make people alive now? We're not talking about the physical, are we? We're talking about the spiritual. That's the problem today. Our eyes are so on the physical that we can't see the forest for the trees. We can't see the spiritual for the physical because we are so wrapped up in it with our claws in this world and in this life. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. He has life. He has the power to give life to whomever he will. He's the one that quickens. He's the one in Ephesians chapter 2 who quickens, who hath made alive. Nobody else can do that. No other religious person can do that. No other religious entity can do that. Only Jesus Christ. Jesus is special because the Father has committed all judgment to him, and we saw that in the passage as well. This covers a lot of the points. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And that day is future.
Yes.
Okay? He came to seek and save that which is lost when he came the first time to this world. But I'm telling you right now, when he comes back, he's coming back as the Lion of Judah. He's coming back as the Lion of Judah, and all judgment will be committed unto him. When men bow, they will bow the knee to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Every single human being that has ever been on this earth. And even the ones that were never given the opportunity to be on this earth by aborting mothers. Can you imagine how heaven is swelling every minute of every day? If you've never looked at the abortion clock on your phones, try it one time. Just Google abortion clock. And what it will show you is how many abortions are happening every week, every day, every month, every second. Every second. You watch that clock tick, you can watch a chronometer, and it's almost every second. And where are they going? The same place David's baby went. They're going to heaven. Man, there's going to be a multitude in heaven that we've never met. It'll be cool because we got all of eternity to get to know them. Jesus is special because he's been committed all judgment. Jesus Christ is special because he was the Father and directly involved in creation. And we just read that passage earlier. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by him, and without anything created that was created. So as you look at this creation story, and you see God Almighty speaking, and you see the Spirit of God moving on the waters, know this, Jesus was there. Putting into practice what God had designed. Jesus made it. That's what makes him special. This woman says, what makes you so special? Jacob dug this well. Well, guess what? He could have said, yeah, and I made the earth that the well is in. He could have said that. I'm the one that made this ball that you're standing on. I'm the one that was here when the firmament was separated from the earth and the seas and all the creatures were created. I'm the one that did that. Lady? Oh, he's special. Jesus Christ is special in that he will rule the world at the end of this present age. Turn to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Frank with you. I am looking forward to seeing this. All right. Revelation 19, verse 11. John already got to see it. John the Beloved already got to see this. I wish I could have seen it with him. John got to see this, but we're going to get to see this. And he says this, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." I'm thankful that my life is characterized by that, but it ain't characterized by it by me. I can't say I've been faithful and true my entire life. I can't. But I'm thankful that he is.
Yes.
That makes him special too. "Him that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth..." What does the religious crowd say about Jesus today? What do they even say about God today? They are 100%, 100%, with no other attributes, love. They are love. "And God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son to die for my rottenness. However," there's more. It says here in this verse that he doth judge and make war. "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. In the beginning is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses." If you don't know how to ride a horse, you will learn quickly. "Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should," what? "Love the nations." No, it says smite the nations. Judgment is coming. And that's why America's not getting saved, because nobody is preaching that. Nobody. And I think it is really close. I'm not a date setter. "And he shall rule them with" what? My dad ruled my house. It wasn't with a rod of iron. It was with about an inch and a half or an inch and three quarter leather belt that he wore for so many years. I can't. That thing had stretched out so long, I think he had to cut it like three or four times because the leather kept stretching. But I'm going to tell you right now, he ruled my house. He ruled my hide with that belt, and he needed to, and I needed it. And I'm thankful if I could kiss my father today, kiss him on the cheek and say, "Dad, thank you for everything you gave me." And that included the discipline.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That is lost in America today. Oh, I don't want to go down that rabbit trail. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." He's going to rule this earth someday. That's what makes him special. We're out of time. I almost got all my points in, but the Holy Spirit said, "You know what? That's a good place to stop." Go back just quickly, to John chapter 4. Just look at this with your eyes and read it with your heart. Verse 12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? What makes you so special? If Christ isn't special to you today, then it's your flesh that's probably special. And it should be the other way around. Christ should be special, and our flesh will follow whatever the Lord wants us to do with it. Stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I beg you as we close in prayer today that you pray for the couple that visited us for many weeks. I beg you that as we pray today as well, that you search your own heart. Is he special to you? Or is he just another Jacob? Christian, have we grown cold? Has he become a bubble machine God to us? Where the only time I ever ask him for anything is when I need it? And the only time I ever ask him for anything, the things that I ask him for are all physical. What about the spiritual? That's where eternity lies. And I would ask you today that if you're trusting in a man or in a religion or in a baptism or in a sacrament, oh, cast that aside and put your faith and trust in the one who is truly special.